Amen. God is good. I am so excited now about what God has put on my heart, because oftentimes when you're preparing the word, you just, this was such a word for me. I was preaching solely to myself this morning, nobody else. I'm just happy that all you all showed up anyway. But I really felt a word just to encourage even my own spirit. Who knows that sometimes David just had to encourage himself. He didn't have a massive, amazing ICC church to go to and didn't have massive worship nights to go to. The Bible says that he just encouraged himself. So I was going through that. I have amazing friends and amazing women of God that support me through it. But I've had to walk this journey that, and I was just preaching to myself this morning. But when I began to hear the worship, I realized that God was doing something. So I realized God is stirring something in the waters this morning. Do we have scriptures up again? Do we have them up? Awesome. I want to thank everyone who was our prayer warriors. I was just chatting with Robin this morning about what happened last Sunday in our service. You know, we started at the beginning of January. We started a prayer meeting at 9 o'clock because we felt God wanted to do something. And slowly but surely, it seems to have evolved in its own powerful sermon and church service on itself. Amen. Because those who are coming, really, and there's a real move of God happening in our prayer services between 9 and 9:30. And last Sunday we had an issue happen in our church, which God is just, we're cleaning up the house. Amen. We're cleaning up the house. We're going to make this place the safest place for everyone to come in. But more than anything, I was so blessed to know that while we were going through what we went through, there was prayer warriors all over our church just praying in the name of Jesus. So whatever was happening, for those that don't know, someone came up on our stage and he was moved by the Holy Spirit and he broke down and he was in worship and he just poured out his heart to God. Amen. And I just leant down to him. I said, you are safe. You're in the house of God and God loves you. And he kept sobbing. So whatever the enemy tried to do, we blocked it with our prayer. Can someone tell me the power of prayer is intense? The amount of things that the enemy has tried physically to even come in and wanted to do right there and then, our worship broke it, came up on, and I was so proud of our team that just kept pushing worship. We just did not stop the service because the enemy does not get the authority to stop what we are doing. See, we had a choice then. We could have stopped. We could have gone into fear. We could have done something, but the Holy Spirit was always going to be in control for as long as we let him to do it. So I was very proud of the team that we had, but just the fact that I'm in amongst a church of prayer warriors. We kept going through the service. We kept praising through the service. We kept worshiping. And whatever the enemy did came on this stage and broke down under the power of God. When I went to the police station that afternoon, I said, showed him the video of what had happened. And he said, what happened to him? Why was he crying? And I said, oh, he was crying because what happens in our church. I said, just God showed up. He goes, oh, maybe that's mental illness. And I said, call it what you want. It's just God. Amen. Call it what you want in the world. They can't understand it. I love that. The world doesn't understand it. They have to label it something. They have to label it and give it a name. But we know what happened. We were there. We witnessed as he broke down and just poured it out. And we're just praying he comes back and part of the church. Amen. Just after I get our policy in order. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel is a man of God that had an intimate relationship with God. This man spent so much time with God. He knew God intimately. He had a very, very open relationship with God, a very public relationship with God, a very personal relationship with God. So just to give you a bit of background, he was very public on his stand with God. So we're going to pick it up at Ezekiel chapter 37. The Lord took hold of me. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic word to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and I will cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke the message just as he told me. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. The skin formed over their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from all four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into these bodies, into their bodies, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a great vast army. Let's pray. Can I have a bit of fallback, please, guys, at the back? Holy Spirit, we come to you. Father, you've got a word in season for this house of ICC this morning, God. No one came here by accident. No one came here by just by coincidence, Father. They came because the Holy Spirit said this is a word for them particularly, Holy Spirit. And as we stand here as a vast army hearing the voice of the Lord, God, I just declare in the name of Jesus that you would speak and bypass my voice, but use this microphone to just magnify and highlight the exact things that you've been trying to speak all week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the Bible says that this man of God, this man who has an incredible relationship with God, says that the Spirit took hold of him and carried him away into a valley. Maybe someone just needs to hear this morning. Maybe this is all. You don't need to hear the rest of the sermon. Sometimes every storm, every valley, every challenge that you are going to happen is by the hand of God. Can someone give me a mighty amen? He was led by the Spirit that was filled of dry bones. The Holy Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. Standing up for God led Daniel into a lion's den. Standing up for God led three men into a furnace of fire, all because they loved and trusted and walked with God. Because they had an amazing relationship, they still faced situations that had nothing to do with what their lifestyle was about. The Spirit of God led Ezekiel into a valley. So often we're just praying, God, give me peace. God, give me green pastures. God, let me lay down and be still that I know that you are God. God, I just want this breakthrough. Well, let me tell you, sometimes in the very midst of what you're desiring, it's going to happen in the very moments of your valley. The truth is that some of your greatest miracles are going to happen in the middle of your toughest, unexplainable, contradictable times of your life. Sometimes there's going to be things that you have no idea why it is happening, but God's saying, come, and I still want you to pray for a breakthrough. So often we're lost so focusing on the end goal that we forget that actually in the middle of the journey is where you will grow the very most. You will see God like you've never seen him before. You will experience God like you've never experienced before. No one wants to see victory. Let me tell you this. Nobody wants to see you have victory and breakthrough more than Jesus Christ. Nobody, not your parents, not your family, not your closest friend, wants to see you have victory and breakthrough more than Jesus who went to the cross for you. But the only thing, if you keep on just the end result, you will just forget to see how amazing God is. You can't experience resurrection unless there's death. You can't experience overflow unless there's enough emptiness for it to flow in. You can't experience healing until sickness is actually present. So we want the breakthrough, we want the miracles, but sometimes God says, it's time to walk through a bit of a valley challenge. But so many times we're so busy rebuking the enemy instead of going, Holy Spirit, actually you're here with me. This is a moment for you and I to get better, to get stronger with you. In the journey, you'll experience the red moment seasons. In the journey, you'll experience the manna from heaven. In the middle, you'll see how God closes the lion's mouth. In the middle, you'll see how powerful your praise and worship actually is. We realize the power of our praise and worship because someone came in to try to resist what we were doing. and we saw the power of our praise and worship just last Sunday. Can someone give me a mighty amen? We kept doing what we were called to do. We did not shift. We did not change. We did not move. We didn't change anything. We didn't go into panic mode. We kept worshiping, and the enemy had to fall to its knees. What an amazing scene happened in this church on Sunday morning. Whatever was coming against it fell to its knees, and the power of God came right upon him. Can someone give me a mighty amen? It's in the middle of it. But the enemy was trying to stir something up. Maybe he was trying to bring fear into this house. Maybe he was trying to bring anxiety into this place. But what I began to realize is the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of my praise and worship, the power of our praise and worship at ICC brought a man that came against it onto his knees, broke down in the power of God, and began to cry out to God. I don't know where he walked out after this, but I know he had an encounter with God. Can someone give me a mighty amen? In the middle of the valley, he'd come through the doors and felt safe and secure. I want to break this Ezekiel chapter 37 down. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried, led away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around the bones that covered the valley floor. And they were scattered everywhere across the ground. They were completely dead, dried out. Listen to this. Verse 3. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live again? Son of man, can these bones become a living people again?" The first question that God asked Ezekiel in the middle of the valley of dead bones was, "Son of man," he was speaking to him, "you're my son. Let me establish your position in my life, in my world. You are my son. Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" He wasn't asking him to be scientific about it. He wasn't even asking him to be super spiritual. He just wanted to know, "Ezekiel, what do you think about the season you're in right now? Ezekiel, what do you think about where I've brought you?" See, I want to say to you, church, that what your position is on the situation you are in is completely your choice. Let me say that again. The position that you take in the situation that you're in is completely our choice. God says, "I will and I can provide all your needs." But if you do not know who you are in the season, it doesn't matter what God does, it will never be enough. God says, "I will and I can provide all your needs." But if you do not know who you are in this season, in this chapter, it doesn't matter what God does, it will never be enough. See, what separates us from God is our position in the challenge, in the season that we're in. Because of how much of the situation controls me is up to me. Are you still here with me, ICC? How much of the situation that I'm facing controls me is up to me. See, I might be going through seasons of different things. See, attached to singleness and divorce and addictions, there might be loneliness, and there might be worthlessness, and there may be shame and rejection, all in the matter of the season that I'm in. But how much that affects me is up to me. Are you here with me, church? See, every season I have brings with it the element of natural. So when I'm dealing with singleness, when I'm dealing with rejection, when I'm dealing with shame, when I'm dealing with divorce, when I'm dealing with broken children, all of that comes with elements of things that I cannot change. But how much power those things have over me is completely up to me. Amen? I have to choose what happens in this situation. I can believe everything I want to believe, but if loneliness is going to attach itself, that's my choice. Are you here with me? If worthlessness is going to attach itself to me, that's my choice. If shame and rejection is going to attach itself on me, that is my choice. Come on, are you here with me, ICC? I choose what that situation allows to happen to me. I'm in a situation that I cannot change, but what it does is up to what happens to me. Paul says in Romans chapter 38, nothing can separate you from God. Nothing can separate you from God. Nothing has the power to separate you. Listen to me. I'm going to read it in the Message Bible. So what do you think With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his only son, is there anything else that he would not gladly and freely do for us? And who would you rather tangle with God by messing with the one that God has chosen? Guess what? That's you and me. Who dare touches me, says God. Don't you touch my girl. Don't you touch my son. Don't you touch that church. Don't you touch that family. They're not touchable. They're out of your league, enemy. And the Bible says, and Paul said, who dare tangles by messing with God's chosen ones? Who would dare even to point a finger at him? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. This is God. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying, not threats, no backstabbing, not even the worst sin listed in Scripture. Listen to this. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, nor living, nor dead, nor angelic, nor demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, unthinkable and thinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love. Come on, someone give me a mighty amen this morning. Nothing can separate you from God. Nothing can come against you from God. So the situation cannot, will not, does not have the permission or the power to establish who you are in this situation. Can I hear a mighty amen? No one has the power, nothing can, has the permission to choose what I stand in this situation. You and I still hold the power. Even in the death of the valley of the shadow of death. So Ezekiel, God said, can these bones live? Can these bones live? ICC, can I ask you? I called you to open that business and now it's all drying up. Can it still live? I called you into ministry, but nothing's happening. But can it still live? I called you to a healthy marriage filled by God, and now it's on the divorce courts. Can it still live? Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones become living people again? This is what I love about Ezekiel. He says this, O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know that. How many times have you gone, I have no idea. In Italian, we go, buh, no clue. I love that Ezekiel, right at that moment, had no idea. And he said, you know what, God? I don't know. You tell me. You tell me, God. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to go. I don't know what to say. Sometimes we live out most of our year going, I have just no clue how to do this. Do you still trust me, Morella? I don't know, God. I'm just still walking it out. Do you still believe the thing that I put in you? Do you still believe the destiny that I called you? I don't know. But he refers to me as son of man, daughter of the king. Can these bones live? But listen to what God replies. Son of man, can these bones live again? And he replied, Ezekiel replies, you alone know the answer to that, God. He doesn't answer back and say, Ezekiel, you know me better than that. You should have had more faith for that. Ezekiel, you should have said this, or you should have said that. He didn't go with an expectation of what Ezekiel had to say. He just replied and he said, then do this. Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. Come on. He just says, Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? He says, I don't know. And he doesn't even address the I don't know part. And he says, now I'll tell you what to do. He says, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. Listen to me, church. The prophetic empowers you to talk about what the cross and only the cross has done for you. That's what the prophetic does. The prophetic says to you, the cross has set me free, and therefore that's what I'm going to speak. The prophetic says to me, whatever is coming against me, if it doesn't align itself with the word of God, I can speak over it and I can demand that the cross be activated for the situation that I'm in. Because prophecy declares the opposite of what is happening. Prophecy declares healing in the presence of sickness. Prophecy declares breakthrough in the presence of brokenness. Prophecy declares the opposite of the lie that the enemy is trying to manifest itself in your situation. He said to him, son of man, prophesy. Begin to prophesy. Speak a prophetic message to the bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. Prophetic is not a prediction. Prophetic is your authority. It speaks the blood of Jesus. Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. His prophetic word, listen to me, ICC. His prophetic word demanded the word of the Lord to come forward. His prophetic word demanded the word of God to come forward. He said, say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. Let me tell you this. Call your current situation into alignment with the word of God this morning. That's what I want you to understand. You and I need to call your current situation into alignment with the word of God. The prophetic is demanding a divine appointment with you this morning. Can someone give me a mighty amen? When you speak prophetically over your life, it's not about having a pastor lay hands. It's about knowing the word of the Lord and begin to say, you know what? Thus says the Lord. The Lord of God says this over my sickness. Listen to the word of the Lord. I'm healed. Addiction, depression, anxiety. Listen to the word of the Lord. I am set free. Dead dreams, listen to the word of the Lord. I said that he will finish all that he has started. Broken dreams, listen to the word of the Lord. He will bring all things together to good for those who love him. And I love him this morning. Abuse, listen to the word of the Lord. I am made whole in the name of Jesus. Divorce and cancer, listen to the word of the Lord. His name is above all other names. Bring your situation and let it collide with the truth of the word of God. Can someone give me a mighty amen? He didn't say, I want you to have more faith, Ezekiel. He didn't say, I want you to just begin to believe anything. He just said, just speak a word and your word will come in alignment with what I speak out. Just speak it out. Sickness, listen to what the word of God says. I am healed by his stripes from that cross. Addiction, depression, anxiety, you need to listen up. The word of the Lord says, I am free. You take your chains and you break them because I am free. Dead dreams, you need to listen to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord says that he will finish what he started. He says that he is the author of my life. Listen, dead dream. Listen here, broken dreams. Listen here, things that aren't working. Listen to the word of the Lord. He will bring this to completion in the name of Jesus. I am made whole. I am made whole by his blood because his name is above all other names. Bring it into alignment with the word of God this morning. Verse 5 said this. Look, I'm going to breathe into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you, and I will cover you with skin, and I will put breath into you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. But I want to go to verse 8. Then as I watched muscles and flesh formed over the bones, the skin formed over to cover the bodies, but they still had no breath in them. So God said, I'm going to put flesh, I'm going to put breath, I'm going to put muscles, I'm going to put skin. When it all started to happen, the Bible says that as he began to speak the word of the Lord, the bones began to rattle. Let me tell you, there's a verse of scripture that says, at the mention of his name, all the gates of hell will start to shake. So that is every time you speak, every time we worship, every time we mention the voice of God, things begin to shake and rattle. Can someone give me a mighty amen? So as he began to speak the words, they began to shatter. They began to rattle. But he said, I will put breath, I will put flesh, I will put muscle, I will put skin. But as it came together, as the rattling began to happen, in verse 8 it says, then as I watched, muscle and flesh formed over the bones. The skin formed to cover the bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Everything came together except for the breath. Everything that God had said came together except for the breath. The breath was so prophesied separately. In verse 9, it says, then he said to me, after the rattling of the bones, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Lord, the sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these dead bodies that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath then entered them. They came to life, and they stood on their feet as a vast army. The breath was called from somewhere else. It was called from a different prophetic word. See, so many times we're like, everything comes together, but there's just one thing missing. And oftentimes we just walk away and go, I did everything God said. There was no breath, so he still waited on God. God's not finished with what he said. Someone this morning needs to hear just that. If it's not done, just keep waiting on God. God will give you another prophetic word to speak. Come, breath, from the four winds. Come, breath, from the four winds. Now, the four winds in the Bible, this is where I had to research and just begin to study. The winds represent four different areas. The Bible speaks about there were four seasons that God created the world in regards to four elements. So the number four is quite important to the Word of God and into the biblical terminologies. Without going into that area, I want to just break it down. The first wind represents life. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed life into his nostril, the breath of life. Then man became a living being. So the first prophetic wind was called to those dead bones to bring life. You are to live again. Call it back into what it is. So this morning, maybe you need to just do that. You need to just come back into alignment with the Word of God. Maybe that's all you need to do, is bring back into alignment the Word of God. The second thing the wind represents in the Bible is destiny. Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. He was taken up into glory with a whirlwind. Wind took him into his destiny. God came and spoke to Job after losing everything, and he was about to just lose everything, but he came to speak a word of multiplication through a whirlwind. The Bible says that he came to him. In Acts chapter 2, it says that the day of Pentecost arrived when they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound of heaven like a mighty rushing wind. It brings life. And divided tongues of fire appeared on them, and they rested on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The wind speaks. The second prophetic word that came was calling the dead bones to their destiny. You are called to be an army. You need to rise up to your destiny this morning. So the first thing, call it into alignment. You need to breathe again. That dead dream needs to breathe again. That business needs to be spoken over again. Those finances need to be given back to God. Those things have to be taken back into alignment with the Word of God. Then you have every authority to speak its destiny. I've called you to be a vast army. I've called you to raise up in this place. I've called you to be the Godhead. I've called you to realize that God is going to use you and choose you and move you and shift you and take you to where your dreams can only go. Can someone give me a mighty amen? Talk destiny over to the situation that God is speaking. The third thing is the Spirit. Let me read to you 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Can I just call the keyboard up, please? 1 John verse, this is John speaking. This is the disciple John. He said, "For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one." They don't divide. If you speak, if you declare life, destiny, victory is going to happen because it's combined. When you speak the word of the Father, when you speak the word of the Lord, when you speak with the utterance of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, you can set yourself up guaranteed you're going to have victory happen in that situation. No matter what the situation is, if you align yourself with the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, victory is coming to that situation. The fourth thing is manifestation. When you see the number four, it's talking about manifestation in the Bible. It represents, when something is being manifested, it represents something is coming to alignment with its authority. I'll say that again. When something is manifesting itself, it is coming into alignment with its authority. Stay with me, church. Manifestation only happens when it has come in to alignment with its authority. When you come into alignment with the enemy, the demonic will become its authority. Are you here? When you come into alignment with the Word of God, the Word of God steps into its authority. Manifestation only happens when there's an alignment with its authority. Manifestation only happens when it's come into alignment with its authority. And I'm here to tell you one thing. It's either God or the enemy. There is no two. God will always win. God will always bring victory. But you need to choose who you're going to align yourself with. You need to choose who you're going to align yourself with. Are you going to attach yourself? Are you going to let that situation have the power over you? Are you going to let that situation that has everything around it and its power control you? And manifestation only happens when it comes into alignment with its authority. So when you bring something into alignment under God's authority, it will manifest. At the beginning of this year, we did a 21-day fast, and we're getting ready to do another 21-day fast after our church. If this is something that you need to work on, and I've had to just, with the girls that I just called in to just cover me and just carry me through a season. Everything that came towards me was come into alignment, come into alignment. But I've been there, I've done that. Keep coming into alignment. Keep coming into alignment. Nothing's changed. Keep coming into alignment. Keep coming into alignment and it will manifest. Keep coming into alignment and it will manifest. Keep coming into alignment and it will manifest. You need to speak it. You need to bring it into. Listen to the word of the Lord, said Ezekiel, and called it to its authority. So I began to go through, and amazingly, I was reminded of familiar spirits that try to come, spirits of distraction that try to come, but I have the power to let them influence me. That was my choice. But at the beginning of this year, we did a fasting pack where everything we did for 21 days was bringing our stuff into alignment with the Word of God. And I want to come, as we're getting closer to the end of this year, to finish exactly the way we started, strong, bringing everything into alignment with the Word of God. If you've got your fasting pack from the beginning of this year, I want you to pull it out at some point and read it. But on the back page, this is if you need it, there's packs down the front here. I want you to grab it on the back page. It told you exactly how to do it. We walked you through it. It says this. How do I bring it into alignment, Marella? Did you guys get a chance to type it up for me? Did you guys get a chance? I want you to read this. This is on the back. How do I bring this into alignment? How do I do what Ezekiel did? How do I walk this through? How do I go again? How do I start this chapter again? How do I keep doing the same prayer? How do I keep doing it? This is how we do it. How do I keep trusting God when I've just kept walking the same journey, the same dry bones I'm going to keep walking through? Eventually, the manifestation needs to come. Can I get the scriptures up? It says this. Did we just get the scriptures? Is that all we did? We didn't type the whole thing? Okay. On your verse, on your day 8, on your last week, it says, this is how to bring things into alignment. In the name of Jesus, I come boldly to present your word. According to John chapter 16, verse 23, it says, most assuredly I say to you that whatever I ask of the Father in his name, as my representation, he will give it to me. And it says, God, that in Mark chapter 11, 24, that whatever you ask, whatever I bring to you in prayer and supplication, that I believe I shall receive it. And granted to me, I will have it. I'm bringing it into alignment. And your word states, God, as I bring it into alignment, that in Psalm 89, verse 34, it says, I will not break my covenant. It says, God, that you're not going to break your promise. The Bible says that you're not going to break your promise, that you will not take back a single word that you've spoken to me. It says in Isaiah 40 verse 8 that the grass will wither and the flowers but fade, but the word of God will stand forever. Until you see the manifestation, you need to keep bringing into the word of God. John 15, 7 says, if you remain in me, there's a challenge. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything and it will be granted. These are not my words. It's the word of the Lord. So I can quote the scriptures of the words back to him in accordance to Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. I will bind Satan and all of his forces and render him hopeless. He will not hinder my request. I loose the ministering spirits. I loose the angels that Hebrews chapter 1 verse 13 speaks of. And I charge them to go forth and cause my requests to be known and come into my hands. All I did was I prophetically spoke to my dry valley. I brought it into alignment with the word and I spoke back its manifestation power. All I did was take what God has already spoken, brought it into my situation and calling its manifestation to come forth. I break the power of the enemy and all of his forces, and I render them helpless. They will not hinder my request. I loose the ministering spirits, the angels, and I charge them to go forth and cause my request to come into my hands. That's the word of the Lord. That is the word of God. And maybe you need to grab this and just say it every morning again. I've done it before, God. Do it again. Because I'm speaking a time of manifestation to come forward. But in the valley is where I'm going to see God show up amazingly. In the valley, I'll see how God is really my strength. In the valley, I'll learn to run to Him as my strong tower. In my valley is where I experience the greatest healing. It's in my valley that everything becomes effective. And in that valley, choose today to speak the word of the Lord. Choose today to speak the word of the Lord. Why don't you stand to your feet? Do you know so many times, Kim, can you get up and sing that song again that you were doing? So many times, the only reason the enemy can attack us is because we're not giving him scripture. Sometimes the only thing that is wrong is that we're not giving him scripture. Because Jesus himself, faced with the enemy, said, "It is written," and quoted scripture. Yet we think we could do it any other way? You know, I'm not here to preach for you to be any... I love what Ezekiel went through. I don't know, God. You tell me if these bones can live. I have no idea anymore. "Speak the word of the Lord," he said. He said, "Say, speak, listen. Just close your eyes, church.